Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Taiwan Mobile conference call. Our chairperson today is Mr. Harvey Chen and Ms. Lucy Yu. Lucy, please begin the call, and I'll be standing by for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah.
Thank you for joining our third quarter conference. Harvey will start the conference now.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our third quarter conference call. Before we begin our presentation for the quarter, let me direct your attention to the disclaimer page, which says the information contained in this presentation, including all forward-looking information, is subject to change without notice, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, and Taiwan Mobile undertakes no obligation to update or revise the information contained in this presentation. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to accuracy, completeness, or reliability of the information contained herein, nor is the information intended to be a complete statement of the company, market, or development referred in this presentation. Okay, with that out of the way, and let me begin by talk about two things, and then I will come to the summary of our third quarter results. As you, most of you are already aware that today, this morning, our board of directors has decided that my successor, who are Mr. Cliff Lai, who used to be the head of our CBG, and Vivian Hsu, and who used to be our CFO. So Cliff Lai and Vivian Hsu will be co-president of the new management team, and I will be providing all the assistance I can to ensure there will be a smooth management transition. And later on, I think I will get Cliff to talk about the business. And the second thing I want to talk about is the capital management, that this morning our board also passed a resolution on capital management, which is a reduction of capital by 10%. And later on, Vivian will also be talking, give you more details about it. And then now let me come to the summary of the third quarter results. Our third quarter revenue surpassed our guidance by 1%, with revenues of three business groups coming better than expected. In terms of EBITDA, both EBG and HBG exceeded their third quarter targets, aided by higher than expected revenue and the lower expenses. This helped to offset higher than expected smartphone subsidies in this quarter. As a result, our third quarter consolidated EBITDA was in line with our expectations. Our third quarter net income managed to grow 4% on a year-over-year basis due to lower asset write-off losses and the income taxes expenses. And so let's go to the next page. And I will turn the mic over to Cliff Lai, who will talk to you about our business performance. Cliff, please.
Okay, thank you, Harvey. Let's look at the three-quarter performance by business groups. For the CBG, despite network cost reduction and expense discipline, consumer business EBITDA in the third quarter was still affected by increased smartphone subsidies to grow our wireless data business. For HBG, benefiting from large subscriber base and higher-speed broadband service adoption, the growth momentum of its EBITDA remained good. For EBG, EBG's EBITDA improved both QOQ and YOY, backed by higher enterprise mobile revenue and contained operating expenses. In the next three slides, I would like to highlight our two main growth drivers: wireless data and cable internet. First, on wireless data. Despite revenue pressure on mobile voice, wireless data had a pronounced growth of 27% in third quarter to sustain our ARPU. In third quarter, revenue from the wireless data went up to account for 16% of the mobile service revenue. We attribute accelerating wireless data revenue growth to a 57% YY increase in mobile internet access revenue. Our bundling of smartphones with data rate plans level up wireless data ARPU by more than 40% and the number of active data users by more than 10% YOY. In page 6, smartphone user generated more than 2 times of ARPU than the company average. Smartphone sell-through as a percentage of the total rose from 10% a year ago to 35% in third quarter. Our smartphone strategy focused on the following. More exclusive models from leading vendors to differentiate from others. Second, a more diversified handset portfolio to sustain margin. Let's turn to page 7. We managed to grow our cable internet subscriber number by 23% YOY. Separately, we sell more higher speed broadband service to our clients, which level up broadband ARPU by 4% YOY. Benefiting from better economies of scale with 24% penetration, our broadband internet has a 49% jump in EBITDA in third quarter from a year ago. Additionally, starting from July 2009, we have launched digital TV as a premier service to existing analog cable television subscribers. We expect DTV service to raise our ARPU in the future. Let me turn the mic over to Rosie.
I'll talk about cash flows and balance sheet. The third quarter operating cash flow grew to $5.78 billion on better operational performance and less tax payments. The third quarter cash outlay on investing activity was mainly for the $1.97 billion in cash capex, while the divestment of NCIC generated $0.24 billion of cash inflows. In terms of financing activities, $16 billion of cash dividend payment was funded by the combination of our internally generated funds and $7.9 billion of new borrowing in the quarter. Please turn to page 9 for balance sheet analysis. Our cash balance was down by $3.1 billion from the second quarter for the payout of cash dividend on July 23rd. The net PP&E balance consists of $37.8 billion of mobile and $4.1 billion of fixed and $2 billion of cable assets. Other current liabilities dropped substantially as second quarter dividend payable was paid in the third quarter. Let me turn this over to Vivian for fourth quarter guidance.
For the forecast of the fourth quarters of year 2010, mobile services is expected to turn the corner due to data revenue increase more than sufficient to offset mobile voice revenue decrease through our continuous attempt to grow smart device sales. For the quarter, we also expect both cable TV and fixed line revenues to grow at a healthy single-digit rate from a year ago. The cash cost will continue to increase both quarter over quarter and year over year for rising handset subsidies. The asset write-off is estimated to be $181 million in the fourth quarter, leading to $1.5 billion of full-year write-off loss. Fourth quarter EPS is forecasted to be 1.06, sending full-year EPS to 4.62, down 1% year over year. As Harvey mentioned earlier, our board of directors approved a capital management plan of $1 per share capital return. After that, our paid-in capital will become $34.2 billion from current $38 billion, with a full-year estimated EPS of 4.62. A stable dividend payout is expected. And in the event update page, the award we received for this quarter is for your reference. And to wrap up our presentation, we would like to deliver some key messages. The first one is that with succession made internally following Harvey Chung's resign as the CEO and President, a smooth transition of management is expected. Enhancing shareholder value remains a priority of Taiwan Mobile. And Cliff?
Okay. Growth of data revenue continues to be an important initiative for management the coming quarter. And GWM is confident in concluding the year with an EPS of NT 4.62 as guided.
Now let's open up for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now call for questions. If you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is number one key for questions. Our first question comes from Joseph Quinn of Macquarie, Taiwan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks very much for the call. Can I just ask one question? On relation to the capital reduction, can you talk a little bit more detail on when we should expect this? Is it like in the beginning of next year? And also just what was the thinking behind the need to do a capital reduction? Thank you.
The capital management plan is still subject to AGM's approval next June. So theoretically, the payment day will be scheduled for mid-October next year.
And sorry, can you expand a little bit? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
I think the main purpose for the capital management is to maintain the stability of the dividend cash return of the shareholders.
This is Harvey. Let me chip in on this. In the past almost 10 months, we have not been talking about the capital management, primarily because the uncertainty of the cable acquisition, and we are not sure how much cash we should remain on hand. As everything clear up, of course, when we come to the middle of the year, we know that the NCC is not going to approve our acquisition. But there's a different deal going on, and we still don't know what role we're going to play. But now I think it seems to be pretty clear that we're not going to use that cash, and that's also one of the reasons that we're doing this.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. Can I just add one other question? When you say you're focused on more exclusive models, and I see in your presentation you're talking about Samsung and Motorola and different devices, is there any reason then why we see such a large increase in handset subsidies? Are these devices not generally cheaper than what we would expect from the iPhone 4, for example? Or is the iPhone 4 still going to make up a very large part of this product mix?
Yes, the reason we focus on exclusive model is that, as you know, the current market is very mature. So only by providing exclusive model, you can switch customers from our competitors. Secondly, is that by having exclusive model, we can reach a better arrangement with the vendors so that we can have a better pricing. Currently, the focus of Taiwan Mobile is to sell Android platform handsets. And in general, the subsidy level of Android mobile handsets are much lower than iPhone. But in the past quarter, we still see there are strong Sony for iPhone 4. The consumers in Taiwan seem to have a new passion for iPhone 4. So that demand is higher than we have expected earlier.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Our next question comes from Ray Ling from UBS Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi. This is a follow-up question on the capital reduction. You mentioned that now that the cable acquisition is not going to happen for Taiwan Mobile, you can do a capital reduction. Going forward, does it mean that Taiwan Mobile has abandoned plans to look at other cable MSOs? And if so, what does it mean for Taiwan Mobile's cable plans? And does it also mean that capital reduction can be maintained on an ongoing basis?
For the moment, you know that we are restricted by the law, which prohibits us from acquiring cable directly due to their indirect government, due to Fubon's indirect government in our company. Okay, so once the law gets revised, we don't rule out the possibilities of getting the cable assets. But in that case, if NCC approves some Thai families acquisition this time, then we will have to negotiate with the Thai family's entity.
So if I understand you correctly, there are plans if NCC approves the Thai family acquisition for Taiwan Mobile to eventually look at acquiring cable from the Thai family?
We don't rule out this possibility.
Okay.
But we have to get the law revised first.
Okay. So in the event that there are no further cable acquisitions, can we expect capital reduction to be maintained?
It's still subject to the board approval. So what we can tell you now is that this time we did get board approval. But of course, as you know, that we have more flexibilities to do capital management. Currently, based on our balance sheet, we have $12.4 billion in capital surplus and about $3 billion in retained earnings, which can be used as additional source for capital management in the future. Apart from that, there is still some room in the capital base, which may provide us with more cushion to do capital management in the future.
Yep. If I may, just one more question. Then how do we think about your regular dividend going forward? Will that then be reduced because of the capital reduction?
No. Basically, we are very committed to enhancing shareholder return. So basically, we will distribute 90% of our EPS. Which is of course subject to board approval.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We still have a follow-up question from Joseph Quinn of Macquarie Taiwan. Please go ahead.
Sorry, just on that capital management payout, would we be right in assuming that this would happen at the same time as the dividend being paid out next year?
Oh, sorry. The dividend is normally paid
July.
In July. It should be distributed by end of July every year. And for the capital return, capital reduction of $1 is expected to be paid in mid-October next year.
Okay, thank you.
As I just mentioned, it requires AGM's approval in June.
Understood. Thanks very much.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Our next question comes from Lei Cheng Huan of Nomura Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
So, Thank you, management. So I have two questions. The first question is about this the competition landscape of cable TV industry, I mean, basically in Taiwan. So after this, I mean, the two acquisition, I mean, two ownership change, I mean, your company's cable TV operator are still maintained. I mean, the scale-wise, it's quite small. Or what do you plan to grow this business? Or are there any progress to cooperate with cable? Or basically, what's your comment on this cable TV industry in Taiwan?
The competitive landscape in the cable TV market is still quite stable. As you know that we enjoy regional monopoly. And as to how we can scale up the business, I think we will still grow organically, both organically and inorganically. Organically meaning that we will have to step up the penetration of cable broadband to grow the business. At the same time, we will grow the digital TV business, which accounts for a small part of our revenue currently. And in terms of subscriber, it's still below 10%. So there's ample room for growth. But as to inorganic growth, I think we will have to rely on acquisition when the law gets relaxed. And at this moment, before the law gets revised, we cannot have any cooperation with cable.
Okay. So you cannot have any cooperation even with, I mean, without any shareholder relationship or like co-marketing or these stuff?
In that case, we may run afoul of antitrust law.
Okay. So the second question is, can you brief introduce the background of new management team and what will be the time schedule for the new management team to form set a new visions of the company, a new plan of the company?
Cliff is our COO. He has a double E degree and has extensive working experience with telecom-related companies for the past. Vivian used to be working for various telecom companies too, like
KT Telecom.
And also he was the CFO of Cathay Financial Holdings before. And he is the CFO of Taiwan Mobile. And also he was the president of Taiwan Fixed Network in 2007.
What will be the role between corporate roles?
Cliff will be heading up the operations, and Vivian will be heading up the administration part of the company. So they will have divided roles in the future. The new appointment actually will be effective next January.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. The next question comes from Rahi Salavi. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Good afternoon and congratulations on a solid set of numbers. I have a question relating to slide 5 where you talk, where you spoke about the wireless data revenues and the difference in ARPUs, you know, that you also referred to between smartphone subscribers and, you know, regular blended. Wanted to get a feel for, in your current total subscriber base, what percentage is made up of smartphones roughly, do you believe today? I guess, you know, in terms of defining smartphones, I guess I'm referring to, Android plus iPhone, not really including Symbian.
Currently, the smartphone user base in our total network is still less than 10% of our subscribers, but the number is increasing rapidly. So we will expect the smartphone take-up rate will increase in the future. And even though there are many platforms, but the current focus of Taiwan Mobile is really on Android and the BlackBerry. But we try to provide all the different platforms. We don't, for instance, we provide Windows, Symbian, and Apple. So we are the only operator in Taiwan which provide a complete OS to our end customers.
Thank you very much. And one quick follow-up question there. In terms of the average monthly data usage, I think the global average for an iPhone is 500 megs a month, and for an Android phone, 300 megs a month. I wonder what your experience is on those two platforms within your subscriber base.
Let me check a little.
Our case is also very similar to world markets. The average monthly data usage for iPhone users is slightly above 400 meg.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is number one key for questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is number one key for questions. Thank you.
If you don't have any further questions, thank you all for participating in our third quarter conference.
Rosie, we have no further questions at this point in time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Concludes the conference.